The second chapter of Luke, verses 8 through 20. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verses 7 through 9, hear God's word to us. "I will recount the glorious, the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel, that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, 'Surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely.' And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What would Christmas be without the angels? What would Christmas be without the shepherds? Probably millions of men's bathrobes over the centuries have been used to dramatize the presence of the shepherds, the first guest of the first Christmas. The first Christmas, what a cast of characters. God, a young couple, a motley group of lowly shepherds, a stable full of animals, all this and more. Angels and a baby lying in a food trough in a manger that would make us ask, what more could we ask from a story? It does remind us, however, in the shallowness of the materialism and glitter of our times, of those things that really matter: God, family, and our responsibility to and for others. Christmas, Christ comes. Let us pray. Loving Father, come into this silent place, this personal place. Meet us here with room for hundreds and room for every hurting heart. We come, Lord God, with the hope of beginning life anew. Thank you for the gift of Christmas, one that does not ask us to come up to find it, but the gift that comes to find us wherever we are. Thank you for seeking us in high places and in low, and inviting us to the manger. Amen. The events of our world are at our fingertips. With constant news feeds, the internet, and smartphones, there is no event about which we don't have quick and immediate access. For those of us who live in the Washington, D.C. area, we know firsthand the arrival of anyone from Pope to pop star. And we know celebrities often spend a great deal of money and effort to make grand entrances full of glitter and glitz. It's important to them that the right people are present and that the impact of their arrival leaves a good impression. We have done the same thing with Christmas, haven't we? I chuckled when I read that someone wrote, "We have become the exponents of the Hollywood Christmas, the Dolly Parton Christmas, the Charlie Brown Christmas, even the Star Wars Christmas." And yet everybody's Christmas with which we are bombarded is in sharp contrast with the Christmas portrayed to us on the pages of Holy Scripture. Which Christmas did you celebrate? Did we miss the main point of this holy day? That we didn't come to Christmas to choose to be with God, that God chose to be with us, to be Emmanuel, wherever we may be and whatever we may have done. Jesus' entrance into the world in a Bethlehem stable was anything but a grand or perfect event at all. No paparazzi or media coverage. No Lester Holt of his day covering the story. It was almost a non-event. If we are to truly benefit from the message of the angels and let their songs of praise resound in our ears and become resolute in our hearts, we must never forget the circumstances around the original event, rather than an event created and exploited by Hollywood and others. The birth on that first Christmas night caused the heavenly realm to stir. Imagine yourself on that dark Bethlehem hillside. A messenger from above comes to the region where shepherds were taking care of their sheep on a dark night, and all of a sudden, they receive a word from God. New Testament scholar Raymond Brown wrote, "The shepherds were the forerunners of future believers who will glorify God for what they have heard and will praise God for what they have seen." The message of the angels was a call to reality, and it is a message for us today as well. The angel announced to the shepherds that a new shepherd king had been born that night. They received the most joyous news ever announced. This child will be the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah. The angel is then joined by a multitude of angels who proclaim in song to the physical world what only the spiritual realm could recognize. God is to be praised because the Lord has favored the world with peace. To paraphrase the first question and response to the Westminster Catechism, the highest purpose of human life is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. Watching boxing on TV was a favorite pastime in my childhood home for my father and my brother, which actually led to my brother to serve on the U.S. Army boxing team. One of their favorite boxers was George Foreman. George made history when at the age of 45, he won the heavyweight boxing championship of the world for a second time. Unknown to most of the world was the reason he fought and to whom he credited the victory. As a young man, Foreman said of himself, "I was a mean, ugly, cantankerous, horrible person, but Jesus Christ came into my life as Lord and Savior." It changed him from an arrogant man to an ambassador for Christ. George has spent the last 20 years of his life preaching and sharing the gospel to the people on the streets of Houston, Texas, especially reaching out to at-risk youth. He went back into the ring and captured that title after many years out of the public eye because the church that he had built along with a youth community center had both run out of money. George serves God in one of the thick places. He says the real reason in his life and the real victory of his life is what Christ has done for him. He cannot comprehend why he had been so bad in the past. But today, friends and family alike call Foreman a gracious, articulate, and sensitive pastor who will tell you the most important thing in his life was and is praising God. Shepherds did not have the best of reputations either. Tending sheep is a dirty, smelly business. Although not considered dishonest or ruthless like tax collectors, they were the lowly part of society. Let's just say if a young woman wanted to marry a shepherd, that announcement would just about break her parents' heart. Thanks to our Christmas cards, the shepherds have an idyllic appeal about them, standing on the rolling hillsides, thoughtfully looking into the distance or wisely bowing at the entrance of a manger. A lowly scene and quite lovely, but totally unrealistic. The shepherds were simply going about their everyday lives in dark places, watching over and protecting their sheep by night when the angel song burst into their lives. But that's the way it is. And that's the way life happens. That's the way God works. Sometimes we find God, or better said, God finds us, because we are searching for him. At other times, God takes us totally by surprise. The shepherds of Bethlehem remind us again that God does not favor only the beautiful people. A mother recently wrote on social media, "We were the only family in the restaurant, the only family with children. My infant son Eric sat in his high chair, eyes wide with excitement as he giggled and wiggled at a man with a tattered rag of a coat. His face was dirty and his hair was uncombed and unwashed. 'Hi there, baby,' the man said to Eric. My husband and I were embarrassed. We ate in silence, all except Eric, who was running through his repertoire of and admiring the Skid Row bum the entire meal. As we left the restaurant, Eric leaned out of my arm, and before I could stop him, Eric had propelled himself into the arms of the man. Suddenly, a very smelly man and a very young child met in a beautiful embrace. Eric, in an act of total trust, love, and submission, laid his tiny head upon the man's ragged coat. The man's eyes were filled with tears. He rocked and cradled Eric in his arms. Finally, he pried Eric from his chest and said, 'God bless you, ma'am. You have given me my Christmas gift.' I had just witnessed complete and unconditional love shown through the innocence of a child who saw no sin, who made no judgment, a child who saw a soul, and a mother who saw a suit of dirty clothes. So the dirty shepherds were the people God chose to deliver his message, to announce the news of the birth of his spotless son, a message that was delivered by the angels themselves. It was the shepherds, this group of undesirables who became the first bearers of the good news, who were among the first to say, 'We have seen the Lord.' Their inclusion in the story is an immediate hint at just the kind of Messiah Jesus would be. The angels announced good news for all people. They said, 'God has come to you.' The heavenly heralds of Christ's birth had sought out those who were pulling the graveyard shift, doing the unglamorous job in the wee hours of the workaday world. The choosing of these terrified shepherds should not be surprising, given God's tendency to call those whom no one else would select to do great things. After all, two of God's most notable servants in the Old Testament, Moses and David, were shepherds as well. Luke gives us no indication that God selected these particular shepherds because of their superior role or their spiritual credentials. And yet God saw something so significant in them that God met them where they were and revealed the great news of the birth of the Messiah to them, prompting them to immediately obey and leave everything to go and see the child, after which they told everyone they met the great things they had witnessed. The shepherds were people who walked in darkness, literally and figuratively. But God scattered the darkness. And I would guess they will never be the same again. Frederick Buechner writes, "We are, God knows, a people who walk in darkness. If darkness is meant to convey a sense of uncertainty, of being lost, of being afraid, if darkness suggests conflict between nations and individuals and races, if darkness depicts a world where we can't see very well because of sin, then we know enough about the darkness. However, God in Jesus Christ does not run away from the darkness. God sets up residence right in the smack middle of the darkness of Bethlehem and in the darkness of our lives. Christ comes to us, not to protect us from the harshness of the world, but to give us the courage and the strength to bear it. Not to snatch us away by some miracle from the conflicts of life, but to give us peace, his peace, by which we may calmly and steadfastly face the conflict and the rages and be able to bring to our torn world the healing that is so yearned for. So as we join with the angels in praising God, we join with every living creature in the cosmos in recognizing and ascribing to him the glory due his name. We are called by the angel to avoid the unthinkable, leaving God's glory unrealized and undernoticed. The angelic host blazed into our lives to remind us that we can begin right here on earth to worship our God by giving him glory. This babe, the angel told them about, was the one some of the shepherds had heard about for years, the Messiah foretold by the prophets. This Messiah speculated about for generations came in the form of a baby. Now that was unexpected. That meant they would have to clean up their act and clean out all of those old perceptions of who God is and what God will do, not to mention how God will do what God does. They had to rethink their beliefs, and so must we. Most of us don't like to do that. Yet God continues to break in upon us in unexpected and exciting ways, through unexpected people in unexpected places. The Scots call Iona on the west coast of Scotland a thin place. What they mean is that heaven and earth come close together in this place. In other words, God's presence is experienced there in a profound way. There's another thin place called Bethlehem. God entered the world in the flesh. God came to be with us. Into this setting, God announced his auspicious initiative. The angel told the shepherds, "You will find the babe." This is a personal statement to you and to me. You will find him. And where will we find him? In the common everydayness of life, in the good deed of a neighbor, in the kindness of a stranger, in the gentle hand of a friend, or in the understanding smile of a loved one. You will find him. A family waited anxiously at the hospital while a loved one hovered between life and death. The family's pastor was there with them. One man in the family, who was always suspicious of religion, said to her, "Okay, preacher, tell me now, where is your God at a time like this?" Just then, an exhausted nurse who had been working with the family walked into the room. The pastor simply pointed to her. "There goes God. He's been here with you all the time." The signs of God's presence are all around us, in the thoughtfulness and generosity of others, in the lives of fellow Christians, and in the work of the church. So Christmas Day has passed for 2015, and the world is moving on to the Super Bowl, the Oscar nominations, and the Golden Globes. But let's hold on to the glow of Christmas just a little longer. We need to hold on to that good news that shook up the shepherds and the rest of the world. The song of the angels on the night of Jesus' birth was a song of hope for both shepherds and kings. God has come into the world. God is not out there, out of our reach. The great I am is with us in the celebrations of life, as well as when we are frightened, full of uncertainty, and feeling lost. When the angels sang their song of life and joy and hope and peace, they invited us to join with them, not just for one day, but for every day of our lives. In the book of Revelation, John sees a vision of heaven. All of creation is standing in the presence of the risen Christ, who is pictured as the Lamb of the risen, who is pictured as the Lamb sitting on the throne. Revelation 5:13 reads, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" Let the joy of the angels and the enthusiasm of the shepherds inspire you to sing songs of praise to God for God's most excellent gift, the gift of Emmanuel, God with us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.